Hey, it's Jason Diba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast. This episode features a talk by Tim Tebow, recorded live at Passion 2020, the very last of all the talks, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium with 65,000 people in the room lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm excited for you to hear this talk from Tim Tebow.
I love it. I am so excited and honored to be here. I truly am. I'm excited because I've had the chance to be in a lot of stadiums. I've had the chance to be in this stadium a lot. Back before they built this one, when the old one was right here, I got to play in that stadium a lot. I got to play for championships in that stadium. By the way, y'all have a seat. Yeah, for sure. Go Gators. Okay, we don't need to get started. Shelly was riling you up. It's fine. Calm down. Georgia won. It's cool. It was the first time in a while. It's not a big deal. No, but seriously, I was back in the stadium like 3 weeks ago. Georgia was playing. Obviously, they didn't win. But so many big games and big moments happen right here in the stadium. I've gotten to be a part of a lot of them. A few weeks ago, SEC championship. Someone was crowned a champion. Literally less than a week ago, the semifinal, where a team gets, if they win, a chance to go play for a championship. This stadium is a place where a lot of lives have been changed. But why I'm excited to be here is nothing has ever happened in the stadium like what you've been a part of this weekend. You see, games have been won and lost in this stadium, and rings have been won, and trophies have been handed out. But one day, those trophies will rust. One day, we will forget the names of those teams. And even for someone that loves sports and plays it nonstop, at the end of the day, it's not gonna matter compared to what you're doing this weekend. That's why I'm excited about being here. Because it's 65,000 people and 65,000 young people that aren't here with loyalties to a team. You're here with loyalties to the King of Kings. And yeah, we're gonna have fun and we can make fun of Georgia and Alabama and a lot of other teams, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what, why I'm so encouraged is at the end of the day, I believe your life is gonna matter. Your life is gonna matter. And I believe that this weekend, that listening to all these speakers is gonna be a catalyst in your life for what you're going to do the rest of your life. Guys, in a moment, I want to share my heart with you, and I won't be as elegant as Louis or as motivational as Christine or as smart as John Piper or as educated as Ravi or as little as Levi. I love you, Levi. I heard that he made fun of me, so I had to take a jab too. It's fine. I have the mic last. But I want to share my heart with you for the next 15 minutes. I want to share one of my favorite passages of scripture, and if you have your Bible, which you're at a Christian conference, I hope you do. It's Philippians chapter 4. And I love Philippians chapter 4, and I love it because when we look at Paul writing Philippians, and he's writing to the church of Philippi. He's writing to a church he started. He's writing to people he loves, that he cares for. He's writing to a group of people that are almost like his family. That's how much he cares for them. But he's writing from prison. And actually, a lot of scholars would believe that he's writing from the basement of prison, where he's actually probably in sewage, because he's in the basement where the sewage is going to run. So he's probably up to sewage that's all around his body, up to his waist, that's just nasty. And he's writing And I want to start in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And I just want to stop there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So you know what? We don't really use that word rejoice. Like, I'm never like, oh gosh, let's rejoice, right? It's just not a word like that I feel. My friends don't use that word. Like, we don't talk about rejoice. So I was looking it up. What is another way to explain what rejoice means? And why did he say it twice? Why is it so important? So I went to the study Bible and I was going through it, and it said another way that you could look at that is rejoice could mean express confidence in. Express confidence in. So now let's substitute rejoice for express confidence in. Oh, I gotta get my phone. All right, no service. Now it's not pulling up. Here we go. Gosh, these iPhones. There we go. Express confidence in the Lord always. Again, I will say, express confidence in the Lord. Dang, I was just so encouraged when I was reading it, and I knew where Paul was writing from, but then it's like, how do you have this mindset where you're in prison and at any moment they could take your life? At any moment, because you stood up for Christ, they could take your life. You've seen it over and over again with friends of yours and people that were following Jesus. But in the basement of prison, at any moment he could die, and he's saying, hey, express confidence in the Lord. Hey guys, I want to tell you again. Express confidence in the Lord. In your life, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, are you gonna show the people around you your confidence in the Lord? You see, they might see it on your best day. They might see it when you leave church. They might see it when you leave Passion. Dang, I'm so confident in the Lord. It's awesome. I just got to hear Hillsong Band. I got to hear Passion. I got to hear Louie. I can express my confidence in the Lord. What about your worst days? What about your Mondays? What about when you get cut? Oh, hey, wait, that happened to me over and over again. What about when they say you're not good enough to do what you want to do? What about when you can't find that right person that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Do you still express confidence in the Lord? Because when we really want to have an impact on the rest of the world, then we're going to still have the same confidence in the Lord on our worst day that we have on our best day. You know, it was easy for me when I won championships in this stadium to say, hey, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's really hard when you get cut or you get traded or they say you're not good enough to say, you know what? I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I'm going to still express my confidence in him. Because a few verses later in verse number 13, we learn, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that doesn't mean that you can accomplish anything you want. If you're 5'5", you're probably not going to be in the NBA. But it does mean wherever God puts you, wherever you're at in life, he's going to give you the strength through him to handle it, to conquer it, because you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. So you might think, I'm in a tough time. I don't know how I'm going to get through. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm going to express my confidence in him. No matter if I just won the championship or I'm in the basement and I'm tied up and I don't know how much longer I have to live, I'm going to express my confidence in him. So I was reading this, and I love getting the chance to go from the New American Standard to the Study Bible to the Message Bible, and I look at it and I read it in different ways, so maybe there's something different that'll stand out and hit me. So I want to switch now from New American Standard to the Message Bible, but I want to go back to verse 4. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Guys, I gotta tell you, when I first read this, it blew my mind. A couple days after I was studying this, I was in New York and I was doing a couple of shows. And my fiance, who's here, and she's sitting right over there, and I think we should have her stand so we could give her a round of applause. Demi, stand up. It's fine. Even if you don't stand up, I can still see your glow from there. By the way, we get to get married in a little bit, so that's pretty cool. So I'm doing these shows all day, and she's based in New York, and so if I'm there, I can't just show up in New York and do some work, but not take her out or do something special for her. So I finish this day of work, and then I take her to her favorite restaurant, and the whole time I'm trying to figure out something special for us to do, and I'm texting my agents to try to get me tickets to the play Hamilton, because I had seen it a few times. She had been dying to see it, and so I'm sitting there at the dinner table. I'm like, did we get the tickets? And it was last minute. And finally, the end of dinner, getting ready to pay the check. And he's like, yeah, I got you tickets. I was like, sweet. So I was like, hey, by the way, you know, I've been planning this for a while. It's not a big deal. It's taken months and months to plan for this. And but now we're getting in the car and we're going to see Hamilton. Now she's so excited. And so we go see Hamilton, and the play Hamilton is about Alexander Hamilton, and it's a pretty cool play because it's kind of a lot about history and about Alexander Hamilton's life. And there's a part in the middle of this play where they're talking about Alexander Hamilton, and it's from an outsider's perspective watching Alexander Hamilton. So John Jay, James Madison, and Alexander Hamilton, they got together to write these essays called the Federalist Papers to defend the U.S. Constitution. So their goal was to get together to write these essays to defend the U.S. Constitution. They said they want to do it together. We want to collaborate, and we're each going to do part, except John Jay wrote 5, James Madison wrote 29, Alexander Hamilton wrote 51. So we're sitting there, we're watching this, and they're explaining it in song form, and then they go into a song from an outsider's perspective watching Alexander Hamilton. And I want to read a portion of the song talking about Alexander Hamilton. How do you write like you're running out of time? Write day and night like you're running out of time. Every day you fight like you're running out of time, like you're running out of time. How do you write like tomorrow won't arrive? How do you write like you need it to survive? How do you write every second you're alive, every second you're alive? And I was sitting there in this play for the third time. I'd already seen it twice, but I had just been reading Philippians 4. And then as I'm listening to them sing this song, God started to prick my heart. He started to prick my heart, and he said, if people were talking about you, would they talk about your life with a sense of urgency for me, like the way they talk about Alexander Hamilton, the way he was writing his essays? Do I live every day like tomorrow won't arrive? Do I live like tomorrow won't arrive? Do I love people every second I'm alive? Do I share the gospel every second I'm alive? With my words, my thoughts, my actions, do I live with a sense of urgency for what matters? You see, it's a pretty noble thing to defend the U.S. Constitution. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool thing what Alexander Hamilton got to do. It pales in comparison to what you get to do. It's not even close. It's not even close to the calling on your life. The calling on your life for the Great Commission, the calling on your life for your family, the calling on your life for your job, the calling on your life to bring Jesus everywhere, all the time, no matter what, because the Master is about to arrive. The Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. But have we spent our time on stuff that really doesn't matter? Or do we actually live with a sense of urgency for people around the world that are starving for hope and that need you? They're starving for hope. They're starving for love. They're starving for you. But are you going to live with a sense of urgency enough to say, you know what? It doesn't matter if I get made fun of. It doesn't matter if I have to give up some things. I'm going to go and live with a sense of urgency, and I'm going to count the cost, because the cost doesn't matter when I get to live for Jesus. It really doesn't matter. I want to go back to Philippians 4. Starting with verse 6, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns before you know it. A sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say, you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learn from me. When I was at the University of Florida, it's true, Gator Nation's everywhere. When I was at the University of Florida, for every home game, we would get in the bus at our hotel and we would drive right by the stadium and we would stop at what's called the Gator Walk. And every game I played there, there was probably 20 to 40,000 fans at this Gator Walk ready to greet us as we get off the bus. And I would be on the first bus and the first person to get off. And I would walk off and I would turn around and my teammates would come out and I would hug every single one of them on the first bus, the second bus, and the third bus. They would all walk in and I would be the last one to walk in. And I always had my headphones on the bus, and there was one song I listened to every single time. And it was by Casting Crowns and it was called The Voice of Truth. Because I gotta tell you, when I would get off that bus and I would hug my teammates and I would turn around and I would see all these people, I gotta tell you, there were a lot of voices that started to hit me. One of the first voices that instantly hit me was pride and arrogance. Because I would look out and I would see thousands of jerseys with my number on it. I would look out and I would see Bible verses that they were wearing because I wore them. And so for a second you thought, dang, I'm something. They're here for me. This is pretty cool. I must be somebody. That voice hits your head. But then another voice creeps in and it says, Timmy, but if they really knew you, they wouldn't like you. You see, yeah, you might be a role model to them and they might be wearing Bible verses and they might say, thank you so much for being a role model for my kids, but then shame would creep in. That voice that would say, yeah, but if they saw you on your worst day, they wouldn't like you. But if they really knew the thoughts that you had and the actions that you've had, you wouldn't be a role model anymore. They wouldn't like you. And then there was the next voice that would say, Timmy, by the way, most people in the country are gonna watch you the next 3 hours. And just so you know, you're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You can't handle it. You can't handle the pressure. And so I would put back on these headphones and listen to the voice of truth. And it goes like this. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And guys, I believe that's true in my life and it's true in your life, that there's a lot of things that are calling out to you. There's shame that's calling out to you. There's not enough, there's insecurities. But I'm not as good as this person. But look at all the bad things I've done. But God, I can't get up there and speak, or I don't have a voice like Hillsong. What can I do? But then we remember the voice of truth. God's promises on my life. God's promises on your life. That I'm a child of God, a son of the king of the world, who will forever reign. I was created in love, by love, and for love. He has an amazing plan for my life. Those voices of truth would say, I'm here for a reason. I might not be enough, but I'm more than conquerors through him that loved me. So when I know I'm gonna get scrutinized, I know I'll either win or lose, I know I'll be a hero or the goat, I also know it doesn't matter, because the God of this universe, he formed me in my mom's womb, and he said, through me you're more than enough, and I love you no matter what, and I have a perfect plan for your life. I don't know if you could tell, I kind of get fired up every now and then. Kind of happened when I played sports too. But you know why I'm so encouraged being here? Because one of the biggest goals in my life was to encourage other people to love Jesus publicly. And it didn't matter what they said about your life. It didn't matter when they scrutinized you. It didn't matter. I wanted to encourage people, young athletes that watch me, you can get on a knee for the right reasons and it's okay. It doesn't matter what they say. But then when I'm here with 65,000 young people and I think about what you can accomplish and what God can do through you, if you're willing to just step out and say, you know what? I'm all in. I'm all in. It doesn't matter. I'm going to count the cost, because it really doesn't matter, because I'm going to be all in for Jesus. I'm going to be all in for the Great Commission. I'm going to be all in for hurting people around the world. But you know what's one thing that's been sad to me my life growing up in the church? So I'd be at a lot of cool events and you'd hear people share and talk, and you would see people rally and want to go do something for Jesus, but then when it ends, people just get back to their normal life. They go back home, and then they get caught up in their job and school and the 9-to-5. And we don't carry the calling of what we felt in this room, what God was pricking on our heart in this room. When you heard Louis, when you heard Shelley, when you heard Hillsong, when you heard Levi, you got to remember it and continue to live out that calling. Because a lot of times we don't actually take ownership of it. It's on someone else. Well, guess what? Someone else is gonna go live out the Great Commission. It's not really on me. It's someone else, you know? Someone else is gonna be that missionary in Africa, in Asia, in India. Someone else is gonna go do that. That's not really on me. No, guess what? Louis does a great job. Christine does a great job. Ravi does a great job. But it's on you. And it's on me. We have to take ownership of the Great Commission, because every single one of us is part of it. So if you leave here and you say, man, I was so filled up, I was so encouraged, but you don't do anything with it, you've wasted so much of it. You've wasted so much of it. Because God is calling you to something special. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a pastor, if it's a teacher, if it's a missionary, if it's just someone that serves at whatever it is you're doing right now, but you're called to be a part of it. And could you imagine if 65,000 people said, you know what? We're gonna count the cost. It doesn't matter, because we're all in. We're all in. Can y'all put that picture up on the screen, please? There's a picture that I stumbled across. And it's one of Time's 100 most influential images of all time. And it's the picture of this young girl. She's on her way from her village to a feeding center not far away. And she's so malnourished and she's moving so slow that this vulture is waiting to attack. So the young man that took this picture, I think there was probably something in his heart that he wanted to do good. He wasn't sure. So he captured this picture and he just waited, and then the vulture got closer, so he kind of shooed the vulture off, and then he walked away, and the vulture would come right back. And he was told, because of some of the sicknesses in the areas, don't touch anybody, don't do anything, and so he didn't. He didn't. He did nothing. Because apparently the cost was too much. So he left. He went back. The New York Times published this photo in 1993. In 94, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this photo. 4 months after this, he chose to end his life. You see, every single one of us, we have a chance to be successful in life. And you know what? I hope you are. I really do. I hope you're successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. But success is just about you. But significance is about other people. You see, that man that took that picture, he had success. That's one of the greatest honors a photographer could ever have. But obviously, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what's going to be enough for you? You see, success is great. You can do a lot of things with it, but it's not going to be fulfilling. But when you have a life of significance that's focused on other people, that's focused on the Great Commission, that is focused on bringing the love of Jesus to hurting people around the world, you have a life of significance, and that will be fulfilling. That will be life-changing. It will be life-giving. And I believe one day you will hear when you get to heaven, one day, good job. Good job. That a boy. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You see, one day, I hope that happens to me. It's my biggest goal in life, is to stand on the line every day, all day, for hurting people, because I believe that's what Jesus has called us to do. And man, how cool would it be one day when we're standing before our Heavenly Father, who has given us a task, he has given us a goal, he has asked us to do something, to say, hey, Dad, I did everything I could for you. I gave everything I had for you. and for him to give you a hug and say, hey, Timmy, I love you. I'm proud of you. I know you did. Guys, I want you to know that I'm proud of you for being here. I'm proud of you for taking a stand. I'm proud of you for living on the edge and living for Jesus. But I want to encourage you, don't let it stop now. Don't let it stop here. There's a world that needs you. There's a family that needs you. There are people that need you. And I believe in this room, for the next 50 years, you're going to be world changers. You're going to be continent changers. You're going to be nation changers. You're going to be family changers. But guys, you can never forget what God has done in your life, his faithfulness in your life. And you can never forget that sense of urgency, that it's not about your timeline, it's about their timeline. While you might have 30, 40, 50 years, they have days, minutes, moments. She had moments, but it wasn't worth it to go pick her up. It wasn't worth it to give her a hug. It wasn't worth it to tell her about the gospel. Yeah, I won a Pulitzer Prize, but what does it matter? What does it matter? It doesn't. And I think the greatest tragedy in life is we're going to look back one day and say, I was successful in things that don't matter. I want you to be successful. But more than anything, I want you to be significant. And when you live for Jesus and you love people, I believe you're going to have a life of significance. Let me close us in prayer. Dear Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for every single person in this stadium. Thank you that you created them with a purpose and a plan, not on accident. That you love them. You also like them. You created them in love, by love, and for love. And that when they trusted you, they're a child of God, a son of the King of the world who will forever reign. And when they hear these voices, they go back to the voice of truth that is telling them they're more than enough. They're more than conquerors because of what you did on the cross. And your blood covers them and they are counted as righteous. I pray that you would give us the courage, the determination, the perseverance to not stop, to not get weary, to not give up, but to focus on the Great Commission, the people that are hurting, and your promises that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, you will be with us always, even to the end of the age. And I pray that as this conference finishes today, that we leave here so in love with you and on fire to reach the world. And that you put a wall of protection around every single life in here. You let them know that they are worthy, that they are special, and that there are significant, meaningful things that you have for them to accomplish, because we are all part of the Great Commission. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Passion 2020, I love you guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you, guys.
That was Tim Tebow speaking live at Passion 2020. If you weren't there in person, you can get a glimpse of what this gathering was like by going on YouTube and searching for Passion 2020 Glimpse. It was remarkable. All the video versions of all the talks are also on YouTube, so make sure to share this episode or any of the other talks from Passion 2020 with someone you know. And if you don't want to miss out on next year, then make sure to head over to passion2021.com, register today. Thanks so much for listening to the Passion 2020.